thing I try to share with people is like, make the most of what you have, like experience life, soak it up, work hard for that, whatever it is, but like allow yourself to enjoy the process, because that's where we spend a majority of our time.
Yeah.
Once we reach that goal, that time at that goal, like all the time on the podium is very small compared to the amount of time we're spending in that goal.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Hey, my friends, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 76, and I'm absolutely ecstatic that you're here with me today. I had the wonderful and the great and powerful Margot Alvarez as my guest today. She is the founder and the owner of the Goat Wine and a 6-times CrossFit Games athlete. I had a wonderful conversation with her. I had a deep conversation with her. I had an emotional conversation with her, and I enjoyed every single minute of it. And I know you will too. We opened up about a lot of really important topics here and just discussed her many, many endeavors and adventures. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I do too. Remember, you can catch this conversation and all the contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast or on your favorite podcast app. So without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just telling you off camera, like, I was so excited to talk to you. Your story, like, I don't even want to say like your story, that makes it sound like fictional, but like your life, like everything you've done is super inspirational to me. And that's what I'm all about. I was kind of telling you, like, I really just want to talk about your career transition. And that's what I like to talk about, and how you got into everything that you got into. And to me, like, just knowing about your, like, there's so many things that you do, like CrossFit, the wine. God, I mean, there's just so many things. Like, I was looking, you know, obviously you do, you lift, you skydive, you shoot, you do like all these crazy things. Like, I was like going through your Instagram today, and just to like remind myself of all of the crazy things that you do. But I think the wine story is the craziest to me, so I want to kind of get into that in a little bit. But for those people that don't know who you are, can we do like a micro synopsis of who Margot is?
Okay. Sure. I'll try to like think of like how I can condense it. So I was born in Southern California, La Jolla. My sisters and I were all born there.
I love La Jolla.
Yeah, so we lived there for about 5 years, and then after my youngest sister Remy was born, we moved up to Seattle, Washington, and we were there for about 3 years. And then after that, I think it was too much city for my parents, and so we moved to Montana.
Yeah.
And I think Montana was a pivotal part of growing up and who I was. But lived there, graduated high school there, and then actually went to Hawaii Pacific University on Oahu for school.
Cool.
Was there for 5 years. And then after that, I moved to the Bay Area. I had family and friends there and was there for about 6 years. And that's where I found CrossFit. And kind of during that time, I would go back to our family farm where we have grapes and we would harvest grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that for about a week to 2 weeks. And that's kind of where, I mean, I think it's always been a part of my blood and who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm named after Chateau Margaux. And so I feel like it's kind of part of who I am ever since I was little.
That's really cool.
But that's how I started. And then, after that, in 2014, I left California, ended up moving around, lived in El Paso for about a year, Montana, went back to Montana for about 7-8 months to help my grandma and my mom, and then moved to Utah to start doing more of the wine.
Lots
and actually moved to Vegas the last year to build the brand and build the company and expand and be able to do more with that. And so it's
crazy.
Kind of a very
Yeah, like there's years and years and years in moves and like tons of stories and emotions and stresses and just like so many ups and downs in what you just listed.
Definitely.
So no, I appreciate that. And one of the things, obviously I'm familiar with your Instagram and what you do, but for those listeners here, I actually just wrote something down that I wanted to share with everybody real quick that you have on your website. about how you got into the wine deal, and you said, you know, all the logistics were handled. Alex, your fiance at the time, Alex learned filming, editing, photography through YouTube, web design through Squarespace, guerrilla marketing, wine logistics, and taxes. And we began selling apparel as a way of investing money. And then every dollar made got recycled back into the project. And finally, after 2 years of hard work, we were able to find $2,600 a month to pay the two of you for a yearly salary of $31,000 and $200. And I that stuck out to me because I think, especially in today's day and age, a lot of people are looking for the quick fix, how to make money quick and be rich quick, millionaire overnight. And I think it speaks a lot when you have an influence on so many people. And for you to be like, well, listen, like, I've done all these things, like you just said, you like moved around and done all these things. And, you know, you have a wine business now. And I always like highlighting people like this specifically, because from the outside, it looks like, wow, like 6 times CrossFit Games athlete, owns wine, does all of these things. But hold on, let's pump the brakes a second. Let's like peel back the layers and like see how this individual got there. And it's amazing.
Yeah, I think people don't, like, as on the outside looking in, like, you don't see, like, all the layers that go involved, right? And that goes into it.
Yeah.
And until you're in that position, like starting your own business or, like, running your own podcast or all the nitty-gritty details that add up, it's, like, timing, logistics, pay, being able to try to do everything in 24 hours. And it was hard, like, when we decided to start, like, we decided 2016 would be the first harvest we wanted to try to capture to be able to sell. And it's like, you're trying to juggle. At that time, we were juggling, Alex was juggling flying back and forth from Utah to California for work. He was working as a nurse.
Okay.
And I'm trying to juggle training, making sure that I'm still doing that, doing our online programming and making sure we're harvesting. And then from there, like, there's so many things that came up for us. Like, you have to really understand that there's going to be a lot of hard times ahead of you, and knowing that the money may not be good. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to be spread thin. And it's tough, because it's like, in my mind, like, yeah, I can do it all. I've always been that type of person where it's like, whatever I got to do, like, do it.
For real.
And I think obviously that's how I was raised, but that's just the mentality I've had, whether that be in golf in high school or CrossFit after that, or my career, whatever it was. It's like, I need to make sure I do whatever I need to do. But it's like, there's a lot of downtime where you're in like the thoughts, and you're in your mind, you're thinking, am I going to be successful? And there's going to be times where you have those thoughts, but it's like, you have to keep pushing forward. But you just have to be realistic with yourself of like, what's this going to take?
That's what I was going to ask you, like, how do you deal with those thoughts? Because I'm the same way too, and I think most people, at least with the thoughts, like, everybody has negative thoughts. A lot of people do, especially when you're trying to better yourself and you're putting in yourself, or you're putting yourself into these unfamiliar situations. Like you said, you had done a lot of things for a long time. Like you did golf, and but like so many things are brand new to you, in a sense of like, you don't just happen to get at CrossFit Games or in wine and things. And when you're getting into them, like, it's easier looking back having done it. But like in the beginning, you have no idea if you're going to be successful or you're going to fail temporarily. Mind you, temporarily, I say specifically, I interject that in there, but like you have no idea, you know? And so I guess a quick question, did you have anything that you had started that maybe didn't take off?
I'd say, I guess I look back and like some of it would be programming. Like we did our online programming and that launched in like 2015. And looking back now, like Alex and I have talked about it, like how we would do it differently and what we would do. Like we would
first learn from it.
100%. And it took off, and there was people, we had people sign up, and there was membership, and it was, there was an interest, but it's like the way we executed it could have been differently. And again, like you won't know until you go through that experience. And it's tough, 'cause like when I first found CrossFit, I was very enamored by it. I was like swimming in the Kool-Aid, as they would say. And like after that first me watching it, I was like, I want to go to the games. And I told people that, and people were like, yeah, okay, cool. Like they didn't necessarily believe me, but they were like, sure, whatever. Like, okay, I keep thinking that. But it's like in my mind, I wanted to get there. Was I going to get there? There was no guarantee like in my hand or ability to say, all right, I'm going to get there. But it's like through that hard work and the patience, and over like 2 years of training, I qualified that first year. So it's like, there is going to be that unknown. And I think, like you asked, like, how do you deal with that? I think the biggest thing is like, looking at your day, like set those long-term goals, whether the long-term's a year, 6 years, whatever.
Sure.
But short, that like short monthly goals and even daily goals. And our biggest thing with our company and our business with the wine is our mantra of like, it's kind of funny because it's, we say work hard, wind down, like a play off that wine.
Love it.
But the overall principle is like, you know, bust your butt in the gym or your career or your schooling, whatever it is. At the end of the day, relax and unwind with a glass of wine or like bonbons on the couch, hanging out with your kids. Doesn't matter. Make sure that you enjoy yourself, because through my experiences in life, like not every day is guaranteed and things can change at the drop of a hat.
You're absolutely right.
The biggest thing I try to share with people is like, make the most of what you have, like experience life, soak it up, work hard for that, whatever it is, but like allow yourself to enjoy the process, because that's where we spend a majority of our time.
Yeah.
Once we reach that goal, that time at that goal, like all the time on the podium is very small compared to the amount of time we're spending in that goal.
Wow. I love everything that you just said. There's so many great things. Make sure you have time to relax, experience life along the way, because it's so good to have all these goals and these hopes and desires and dreams that you formulate into goals that you actually have, you know, they're tangible and that you can go after them. But once you obtain them, like, it's great that you have them, especially like CrossFit, like you're on the podium, that like that's a great thing, but enjoying the process. And then say if you're working hard on the wine business, in your example, like you're working, well, are you enjoying life in the process? Because like I said, and I know you're very familiar to life can be short. I know some of the things you've experienced. I 9-year background in the Navy, just got out last year. I've experienced, unfortunately, a things of that nature as well. Friends of mine. And I understand like that as well. So I do think it's a great point to point out, like, yeah, you can bust your ass and you can work really hard at all these things. But like for me, in a smaller example, like not like 1, 6 years or 10 years, but like at the end of the week, like I work really hard Monday through Friday. I even work on the weekends, but I know when Friday comes, I don't work as late in the day, and I enjoy definitely the rest of the day and the night with my family. You know what I'm saying? But, and it feels deserved. Like, I don't feel guilty for like having a pizza and watching Netflix for a few hours, because I know like Monday through Thursday and even on Saturday and Sunday for hours in the morning, like I'm busting my ass. Like I work a day job, then I do the podcast, then I have like a plethora of other things that I do until like 10 or 11 at night, and I'm up at 5:30 to do it all over again. Like, and I know you're no stranger to that. So yeah, I highly, highly want to pull that out from what you said, and you interjected that greatly in there. Like, enjoy it, and it's don't feel guilty about enjoying it for sure. And
I think a lot of people I've noticed within like the fitness realm, like you're working towards fitness goals, whether that be CrossFit or figure competing, Muay Thai, whatever, MMA. But I think we get so wrapped up in like the process. And again, we should be in that process, but it's like, you should be able to enjoy it at the end of the day. Cause it's like, and you just spent so many hours training, or you spent so many hours doing this. It's like, I can't relax. I can't have a piece of cake, or I can't have a glass of wine. And obviously I can't speak to other people, but I know for myself, it's like, I'm busting my butt every single day in the gym or on my job or my company. I'm traveling a lot. So it's like, at the end of the day, for me to relax and like, just take that moment in, it allows me to like really be present there. And I think that's as a, I guess, as a human race and a society, we get so caught up in the next thing, especially here where it's like the next thing, this thing, that next goal. And that's great to be driven. And I think that's really important, because that's the characteristic that I've always had as an individual. But I think it's really important to like slow that moment down, stop and smell the roses, as much as
the cliches. No, I love it. The cliches for a reason.
Because we get so wrapped up in it. Yeah. And I think it's like you said, like you bust your ass and then you relax and you enjoy it. Like, celebrate the pizza, have a cake, have a glass of wine. Like, be in that moment, because it's like, you may not always have that moment.
You may not always have that moment, and we get comfortable because we expect to wake up the next day. But I even know on the point of like enjoying it, like, honestly, that pizza tastes so much better. And the hours that I spend doing not work or spending time with my family feel so much better. Like, they're earned. So even though maybe like in the athlete example, like you may be on the podium for only like a few seconds or minutes or something, but like that's so much juicier, right? So even like in a goal setting like that, or like we're saying in relaxing, like if you've busted your ass for it, then like enjoy it. Enjoy your time at the podium. Enjoy your time not at the podium, on your couch. Like if you've worked for it, then enjoy it. So I definitely love that you've said that. And going back to one of the things I pointed out on your website was when you said Alex learned to film editing, like all of these things that I listed off, like if you're not listening to what I'm saying, like he went on the internet that most everybody has and he like taught all himself and you, I'm sure, some things like how to do everything. So like I always a lot of, like I said, I have a plethora, I'm pointing to a whiteboard, everybody knows I have a whiteboard here, and I have all these things I want to do, and sometimes I get frustrated and I go, how the hell am I going to do all this stuff? And then I stop myself and I go, well, I know why I want to do these things, and just like what you guys did, how is never the issue. It's the issue initially, but you can learn how to do it, but why do you want to do it? So I wanted to pull that out and interject that again. Like, I love that you guys were able to do that. It's just, it's so cool. It's really awesome. And one of the other things that I picked up in one of your interview or something, oh yeah, it was your American Ninja Warrior, like the video you sent in, which I think is, first of all, badass for that. But I picked out a little tidbit of the plethora of good things that you said. And it was that ever since you were a little girl, you said you wanted to help people. Now, one of the huge things I focus on like career transition, helping people, you know, bettering ourselves through self-education or formal education, whatever's best for you. But I always like asking people, and why do you like helping people? And I think it's even more interesting in your case, because like you said, ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to help people. And how did you recognize that within yourself at such a young age? And how did you intend to imply that?
I think it's a great question, because it's something I've always felt innate. And I think I, being the eldest of all three of us, daughters, sisters, I think it was like, I felt like it was my role and my job to like take care of my sisters.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think that's something, as a little girl, that was something like, all right, I'm just going to be a part of. And then everything I did, I felt like anything within the service, like I remember this was my junior year of high school and it was Thanksgiving Day and they had a sign up sheet for us high school students to volunteer to serve Thanksgiving meals. And I was like, oh my God, I would love to do that, like help give back to people. And it's like, I think it was for 2 hours from like 9 to 11 on Thanksgiving morning, we were in like at a Denny's or something like that. But all these families came in that didn't have the money or didn't have the means or didn't have the place to go, and serving them, like it was 2 hours of my time, and like, trying to like not cry, like because it was emotional, because these people didn't have families to go to or didn't have places to go to. And it's like, and I'm helping them with like a one meal, like, holy crap. Like that's something that, for them, is monumental. And maybe for me or other people didn't see that, but I remember that as something that stuck with me. And I remember someone was like, well, why would she do that? Why would she like go spend time helping someone else? It's like, it's a holiday. I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't matter. That's a holiday for them to celebrate as well. Sure. And I think that was a point, even though I was in my teenage years, that was a point that I was like, man, like I really want to help, and I want to continue to help. Sure. And I think that just continued on into college. When I became a personal trainer, when I like moved to the Bay, I think it was the same thing. Like, I love fitness. I love the health industry because I want to be able to improve myself and be the best version of myself. Yeah. But then I also want to help others.
I love that. Yep.
Wherever they came from, but I want to help people. And I think part of it also stems from like my sister passing. Like, I wish I could have, as an older sister, wanting to help and protect her.
Yeah.
And then not being able to do that 100%. Like that, I think something that's been innate in me. It's like, all right, even though I couldn't like help or save her, maybe I can help or save someone else by sharing my story and sharing whatever I'm doing to hopefully inspire someone else.
Damn, that's heavy. Thank you for sharing that. That's super heavy. Like, that's hard for me to not get choked up too with you just talking about that, you know. That's tough, but that's like, that's beautiful. It's so deeply rooted, and it's just so amazing that you do that. And one of the things you said too that I liked is that you want to help yourself while helping other people. And I say all the time, like, I do solo podcast versions of this too, and I call it my verbal journal, because I'm like, instead of writing on a notepad, I'm like doing it for me. So I'm like helping myself by getting my thoughts out and talking out loud, and I can listen to it later, and I can hear my tone. I can hear my anger, my frustration, my excitement. I can hear it instead of reading it. But at the same time, I'm able to capture those words, just like we're capturing this, and somebody else is going to listen to this at a later point. So to me, I think it's so cool to be able to help yourself and help other people at the same time. That's why I like talking to people like yourself, because it's like, all right, it's cool. Let's work on ourselves. Let's like really kick this into gear. But at the same time, it doesn't stop there. Like, go out there and help other people. And unfortunately, terrible things happen to us and the ones we love. And you don't have to experience those things to want to help other people. But I think when you experience those things and you still choose to help other people, I think that speaks a lot for yourself, because you could choose to like curl up in a ball and just be like, honestly, F the world. Like, this is unfair. Why did it happen to me? And I'm sure I'm sure those thoughts come to your head, because we're all human beings. We all have these emotions, but at the same time, like, okay, this sucks. This is really terrible. Like, I was talking to Dakota Meyer the other day, like, you know, Medal of Honor recipient. And he's like, worst day of his life, but now, you know, he lost all of his friends, but now he's able to like talk and help people in the same thing. So like these tragedies, we can turn them into something great. And you've done just that. And you've like expanded on it in a million different directions. And that's why it's like, it's so cool to talk to you. It's
like you said, I think like you sharing your story and me sharing my story and everyone else sharing their own story. Like, we all have, maybe we can't reach everyone. Maybe we can't help everyone. And I know that's maybe physically impossible based off the numbers, but it's like, if I'm able to share my story and maybe inspire one or two people and help them through a tough time, or help them at least feel like, man, I'm not the only person, or I'm not the only person going through this. Cause it is easy to go down a rabbit hole and get into the point where you're like, oh, I can't be happy because this person's gone, or I can't continue on because they're not around. But it's, I think the biggest thing, like you said, is like that mindset and the positive thinking and being able to say like, and it is hard, like you have to pull yourself out of there.
Super hard.
Super hard. And if you can at least, again, help yourself, because by helping yourself, you in turn will be able to help others. And for you to be able to continue forward, you need to do something to give back to yourself, like feeding your soul or feeding your mind, your heart, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But that in turn will be able to kind of enfold, help others and share with others. And again, I think not everyone may be receptive to it, but it's like, why not try? If I share my story and only five people listen, then maybe those five people can in turn help another five people. Like down that road. And then eventually it's helped 100 people, which, like, man, like, you may not realize it, but it's like every person has a friend or a family member, some sort of connection.
Yeah. It's crazy. It kind of reminds me, like, if you, like we were saying about before, starting your wine endeavors and your CrossFit endeavors and all of these cool things and amazing things that you've done now, like we were talking about, like how you don't know how it's going to turn out when you start, obviously. But at the same time, I kind of see like a comparison between helping other people. So like, okay, so I have a podcast, you do a lot of things with all the people that you can reach. So we're like, all right, so maybe somebody says, well, only reaching one person is only one person, and you guys affect thousands of people's lives. Well, think about it and say, you have no idea how it's going to affect, because that one person talks to some other person, talks to some other person, and that word of mouth spreads like wildfire. And then with the 6 degrees of influence, which has easily gotten knocked back to probably like 3 or 2 degrees of influence with social media, like that's going to spread way more than you think. Even though you maybe hit one person out of 100,000 people that you have influence on, it's going to be way bigger than you ever think. So that's like, I'm always like, I'm also huge on like, don't sell yourself short. So like, before you start CrossFit or this, I don't care what kind of business adventure you want to, a business venture, and I guess it's also an adventure, but like, before you, like, that was a good slip. Like, like before you start something, like, and like, that's like, I say the same thing about the podcast. Like, sometimes I'm like, wow, sometimes I really don't feel like doing this anymore, because it can be really hard, because I do it by myself, I do everything. And I'm like, this is super hard. But then I have like, I speak to people like yourself, and I'm like, I can't stop this. Like, there's, I don't ever want to stop this,
because
it's good for me. And then like, I know somebody like always texts me, you know, DMs me or something, and goes like, that super hit me, that was awesome, thank you. Like, even somebody like in your case, like, unfortunately, I lost somebody close to me, or I hear it in the military too. Like, this happened with me, like, again, when I connected with some military people on the podcast, like, we both lost people in the same valley in Afghanistan. Like, that's crazy. Like, and there's, you can affect so many people. And again, like, those degrees of separation are few, getting very, very few, and you can affect way more people positively than you ever thought possible. So like, I'm always like, get out there, start, and like, don't sell yourself short, and get after it.
That's a great way to, like, I love it, don't sell yourself short, because I think it's super easy to do that, because those thoughts of doubt or uncertainty, like, they're gonna be there, like, and it's tough. Like, if you try and go for a goal and it's like, well, what if I don't make it, it's that fear. But it's like, you won't even, if you don't try, you won't know. And it's hard, that having that mentality, I gotta at least try. But if you put yourself out there and you attempt it, then it's like, at least you took a chance. And if you don't, if you're not successful, to the people that really care, aren't going to care if you were successful or not. They're going to be yeah. there supporting you. Like, hey man, like, you got more balls than I do, 'cause you went out and did it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. That's how I feel sometimes. And I have to remind myself that all the time. And it's so funny. Like, I literally just posted on Instagram. I'm so lame sometimes, but I was like, if you don't try, my math tells me that you have a 0% chance of succeeding. So I'm no math doctor, but I'm pretty sure that's the math. And no, you're absolutely yeah. right about that. I mean, you must have had like a million doubts through all of these things. Like, it's hard to, like, I think if we just focused on one thing, if we just like focused on CrossFit, or if we focused on wine, or just your personal life, you know, with things that you've dealt with, I feel like we could talk about a lot of obstacles that you face. But out of everything that you've dealt with and worked through and successfully completed and competed, like, has there been anything outstanding that's been like, this has been a really tough obstacle, but I made it through, I didn't think I was going to make it through, and I'm so much better, and this is what I learned?
Yeah, it's tough, because it's like, I mean, I think of all the things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, with you, it's super hard.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think
damn it.
Not, I mean, obviously I knew in my mind, like, being able to overcome the passing of my sister, I knew that's something, because in my sure. mind, I wasn't going to like succumb to that, to the point where I wasn't going to overcome it. But having the outlook of being positive and like kind of living in memory for her, living yeah. the lifestyle that yeah. she did, that was, I think, was really powerful and moving for me. I think, like, starting the company was mm-hmm. in my mind, I was like, man, we can totally do this. Like, it won't be that hard. Like, I mean, it'll be challenging, but yeah, like, we'll yeah. be able to do it. And then getting there and like getting through the licensing and getting our licensing and then trying to get the wine into like into distribution, it was like,
yeah,
holy shit, like, this is hard yeah. because it's so saturated. Yeah. And I was like, well, what if we don't get the wine out there? Like, then no one's going to be like, oh, like, what, your wine company, what happened? Like, did you not make it? It's like, and I think until you get into that nitty gritty and you're like, man, there's so many logistics and legal laws, like with alcohol. And it's like,
yeah, sure.
in my mind, like, are we like, do I want to continue to do this? Like, do I just want to say F it, throw in the towel and say, I'm done? Like, and it's hard because you have those thoughts, but I think
you do.
Like, just relentless and like, just keep trying. I think that was probably like last year when we got into distribution here in Vegas, and it was like, okay, like, like, not like, I awesome. Guess like a sigh of relief, but also like, okay, we did it. Like, it's a small step, but it's a small step forward versus a small step backwards.
It's a huge step though. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's tough, because I think you get so many no's and you get so yeah. many like doors slammed in your face. You're like, son of a bitch, like, again and again, yeah, but it's like, yeah. okay, let me try a different door. Like, sure. having that mentality, it's tough, but it's like you said, that's a huge step. And I think when you're in that process and involved with it, you don't really see it, because like, you're, it's all around you, it's, yeah. it's all consuming. And then you take a step back and you're like, holy shit, like, you see the value, or you see what you did. And then like, in our case, it's happened like months or year after it yeah. happens. It's like,
yeah.
you just get so caught up in it. And I think another point was when we first got the license in 2017, it was like the week of regionals, like middle May or whatever that was. And it was like, yay, we got the license. Okay. Compete for regionals. It was like, that's and it bonkers. Was a delayed, like 3 or 4 month delay celebration. Yeah. It's like, holy shit, like, we got our license. Like, we can sell wine. Like, oh my God, this is amazing. But I think, again, giving yourself that pat on the back is important.
Yes.
And got to give yourself that recognition. And I,
yeah.
As much as I like praise people and like love sharing like accolades with people, I need to do a better job of giving that accolades to myself, or giving myself a pat on the back. Like, hey man, be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
But it's tough, because it's like, you want to push that envelope and you want to be able to do more and do better and improve and constantly be able to provide.
Yeah. It's a fine line. It's a fine line between like being able to push yourself harder and harder and harder, and then, like you said, pat yourself on the back and, like you said, take a step back and be able mm-hmm. to view it from the outside. For me, that's been really hard to do. Like, if I was to talk to myself a year ago and see where I am now, like, I'd just cry my pants right here. Like, boom. Like, holy crap. This is insane. But now I'm, like, yeah. in the thick of it, and I'm, like, I'm pretty stressed out. And I'm not 100% sure of the direction I want to take my life, and I have a lot of options on the table, a lot of options that I haven't discussed on the podcast. And I mean, we'll see how things go, but I kind of always go back to, like, I do the freaking best I can every single day. And I know that I'm going to make the best decision I possibly can when they arise. So I think that is what helps to keep me going. But I do, like you said, it sounds like you figured out a way to at least step back and pat yourself on the back, because I need to get better at it. I'm telling you, I need to get better at it.
But I think it's the same thing, like giving yourself the accolades, giving yourself the recognition for like what you are doing. Like you're taking a step, you're doing the podcast, and it's like, it's tough to do it all by yourself. Like it's like a one person job or one person, like
One man band. Yeah.
So like it's huge props to you for what you're doing. And that's why I think people don't realize it's like, oh, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. And I don't think people, it's like behind the curtain. I always think of like Wizard of Oz.
Oh my God,
like pull back the curtain. You're like, what?
There's
like,
so much going on. Yeah.
There's not much going on, but on the opposite side, it's like there is so much going on, but people don't understand or see it because they're not involved with it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's something we try to share with our story. It's like, hey, like it's a two-person team. Like, yes, we have our fulfillment center in California and we do the wine distribution through there for sending the wine. But it's like, who's putting the orders in? Who's managing the sales? Who's managing the marketing, advertising? Like, that's all us.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, like people don't see, not that they have to see it, but it's like, understanding what goes into it. And it's like, it's a lot of stuff. Like, so same thing goes for you or anyone else working on their project, whether that's their full-time or part-time or whatever they're trying to do. It's like, there's a lot that goes into it. And I think, again, unless you peel back the layers and you really see like what's going on with the core, it's like, oh man, like there's a lot more than what you think or you anticipate.
Yeah. I think that's why a lot of people stop stuff when they start it. Like, I've talked to, and no disrespect to anybody I've talked to, if you're listening to this, but I've talked to a lot of people that said, you know, how do you podcast? How do you get into it? And I've like, listen, dude, I've literally written up a program with links to everything you need to buy and how to do it, where to go to set it up, where to get it on every single endpoint. Like, I know how to do it. And like, I don't think anybody's done it. And it's just crazy. Like, cause you're right. You don't see it. It is a lot of work. All you see is that I release 4 episodes a week. Like, that's it. Like 2 30-minute episodes and 2 8 to 10-minute episodes. That's it. That's like less than an hour. No, that's more than an hour. I'm so bad with math. I know that 0% or whatever. I like all you see is like 70 minutes of like work, but it's like somebody asked me the other day, and I mean it's hours and hours and hours a week. So it is tough. And I think people see like the end point, like, wow, that would be so cool to like have a winery. That would be so cool to like compete in the CrossFit Games, and that would be so cool. Well, it is cool, and it is awesome. You know, pat yourself on the back, but dang, there's a lot of shit that goes on in the back.
Yeah, it makes me think of like that. Like, do you see that image a lot of like an iceberg or whatever? Like the very tip of what people see.
This is real life. Like, this is real life. Yes, 100%. Like, that's like another. Yeah, that's like another cliche that you were talking about. Cliches, and I was like, cliches are there for a reason. And like, the iceberg is like legit. Like, that is 100% what starting any endeavor is like. And I love how you brought it back to that. And honestly, I can't believe I hate sometimes getting to the end of these podcasts because I just want to talk. And talk. And I was like, I can figure out how to do all the other stuff I need to do later. This can go on. Like, but,
we'll just push it later.
Yeah, for real. Like, they can wait. But honestly, Margo, like, this was, it was a great podcast. Thank you so much. And,
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
It's like, absolutely. 100%. Like, talking about, first of all, I was like, how am I going to, like, have a conversation with her when she does, like, so many different things and she continues to do so many different things and you've had all these experiences, but I think we kind of touched on them pretty well. And I appreciate you like opening up into all of those things. And then like your personal things as well. And I think all those are important because even though we, you know, in your case, like even though you love your fitness and your business and like all these things are tied together, you know, because we are one person and we are the one person that experiences all these things. And like we both said, like we're human, we have emotions, and our personal life affects our business life, whether we wanted to or not. Like, we do a good job to try to not do that, but
yeah, it's all interchangeable.
Yeah. So when I see somebody open up about it, well, like you have, and like I said, like frick, for a second there, I was like, I gotta pause for a second. But no, that means a lot to me. Yeah. No. Screw it. Like, this is my podcast. I'll cry if I want to. Like, you know, like.
Awesome. And but, I think when you find other genuine people like yourself that can understand that and you can connect with, and like, doesn't matter, like around the world, wherever you're at.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really important. I think a lot of people I've noticed, like, you kind of get into this mode. It's like, oh, how are things? Oh, they're good. Like, oh, that's great. You just kind of go through the motions. It's like, hey, and I don't think a lot of people open up. And I think part of the reason is because either they have a hard time opening up, being able to share something, but it's like, if you can find someone to connect with, then like share away, you know, as long as a receiving individual or party is like willing to open up and hear yeah. it too. Cause like, it could be like a one way street. We're like, oh, I want to share what's going on. They're like, whoa, that's a little too much for me. It's like, yeah. hey man, if you want genuine connection and genuine relationship, don't be afraid to share stuff.
For sure.
Like being open and being available. And again, everyone has their own experience. Yeah. It's all different,
yeah.
but it's like, you want to connect with people, you have to be willing to like open a little bit of yourself.
Yeah.
To share that.
Yeah. And that takes practice too. It absolutely takes practice. Yeah. Where can people find you? What Instagram, your website? I know there's a lot of ways.
I know, so many ways. So Instagram would be 321GO, like G-A-U-X. And then our website's thevineyard.space, and that's where we have our little bit of a story on there, and then our wine
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And
then
the,
yeah.
The one wine we do have, we actually did a, we have the goat wine in Vegas, and we have a, the Instagram's the goat wine, obviously. So we'll check that out if we can.
Yeah. Wow, so cool. And that's where I got that, for everybody listening, that's where I got that excerpt that I read in the beginning. And it just, like, go out there. The how is not the issue. Just, you know, figure out your why. Why do you want to do these things? You can learn the how. And, like, I didn't know any, like, start a podcast, learn from other people, you know, go out there and you can make it happen. But, like, have the conversation. Be willing to talk about it and, you know, get past it and be vulnerable and share your story. I 100% agree on that. So, well, like I said, I really appreciate it and I hope you have a great rest of your night.
Thank you too.
See ya.
See ya.